Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We also believe this is the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. We had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, and we talked about scandals that presidential candidate Deval Patrick should not be able to shake. Incredible column written by James Bofford, or Bavard, I guess is maybe how you say his name. Anyway, great article. We also talked about South Carolina bill would make gold and silver legal tender. Joe Wolverton with The New American. Great article by Joe. We urge the citizens of South Carolina to support this bill by Representative Stuart Jones. Do what Utah and Oklahoma and Arizona have all done. What is that, you ask? Make gold and silver coin into money once again. Would you please obey the supreme law of the land and demand the states do so? Good for the South Carolinians. Right? We talked about Finland, Belgium, Denmark, Netherlands, Norway, Sweden, and others join this new mechanism for trade with Iran. They want to get outside of the fiat fake U.S. dollars. So they're using this thing called INSTEX, or INSTEX, I-N-S-T-E-X, INSTEX as a way to do so. They want to get rid of the petrodollar. They're trying to jettison the U.S. currency. Are they going to be successful? Over time, yes, they will. Will it bode well for the fake money of America? It will not. That's why going to gold and silver is so critical. And the sooner we do it, the more stable our economy will truly be. Just ask the founding fathers. In July, by the way, we first discussed this INSTEX, the European Instrument in Support of Trade Exchanges. INSTEX is a tool used to set up trade with Iran, which is under U.S. sanctions. This will allow these countries to operate outside of our petrodollar universe, if you will. It is morally wrong, ladies and gentlemen, for the United States of America to enforce the petrodollar hegemony around the world. If countries want to trade for oil with Iran, they should be free to do so without U.S. interference. There should not be coercion and force in the mix, ladies and gentlemen, that's for sure. By the way, Kentucky's Supreme Court decision ignores the real issue. An incredible article posted on LouRockwell.com. The real issue, folks, is simply this. Should business owners have the right to discriminate? Now, notice I did not say should business owners discriminate. I said should they have the right to discriminate, and that's really a critical issue. I don't like discrimination. I don't believe in it personally. But I do believe businesses and people should have that right to discriminate if they choose. Well, Sam, what if they discriminate against you because you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Or what if they discriminate against you, Sam, because you have a lot of children? I have 8 children. Or what if they discriminate against you, Sam, because you're blind? Then how would you feel? I wouldn't like any of those 3 things, but I fit in all those categories. I've been discriminated against because of all those categories, and I still support people's rights to do so. Right? Wow. By the way, Virginia is thinking about outlawing, and I don't know how to say all these things, Krav Maga, Brazilian, Jiu-Jitsu, kickboxing, Tai Chi firearm instruction, not to mention self-defense training. They got a new proposed law called SB 64 down there in Virginia. I mean, these people are off the rails crazy. They want to just violate your flat-out God-given right of self-defense. Hour two yesterday, our guest was Scott Bradley. His goal to preserve the nation, his website, freedomsrisingsun.com. And we talked about parents say that a Utah substitute teacher berated their fifth grader after he said that he was thankful that he was finally going to be adopted by his two daddies. They say the boy's classmates say the teacher said that's nothing to be thankful for and lectured the children on views on homosexuality. She said that two men living together is a sin and homosexuality is wrong. And a spokesman for the Alpine School District in Utah said that appropriate action has been taken. What is that? The substitute was basically carried out of the building, taken out of the building, escorted out of the building. And I look at that and I go, where is the innocence until proven guilty? Where is the teacher's side of the story? Right? Is that okay, folks, at all? Now, maybe the teacher's delivery was over the top. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't hear the teacher's side of the story at all. In fact, I can't even get the teacher's name to interview the teacher or anything else. But the school literally, forced the teacher to leave right on the spot. You're out. The employee temp services that hire the teacher in the first place says, we'll never hire you or let you work again. But this is over the top, even if the delivery was not good by the teacher. Okay, this is where the zero tolerance policies have just gone off the rails. Does the teacher have the right to have a view? Just like the students, do they have a right to have a view? What about the parents? What if the views differ? Can we be kind to one another and respectful? Could we have taken the teacher aside and said, listen, you can't deliver this like this? Could the principal have gone in and kind of backed the teacher off that statement and said, I know you feel like this is a sin, but you know what? Could the principal have reacted differently? Why so hostile towards the teacher? Now, personally, I believe the teacher's correct on the point, even if the teacher didn't deliver it properly. Two men living together is a sin, and homosexuality is wrong. I agree with that. Right? Now, I wouldn't agree that being adopted by two daddies, if you have no home, is nothing to be thankful for. I think it's, not the family that I would prescribe. But I would say that agreed that, hey, if people are willing to take care of one another, it's better than no home at all. The problem is, nobody, at least that I can see, is standing up for traditional values. When I say nobody, I mean virtually. Obviously, the teacher was. But then the teacher maybe doesn't deliver it right, and the teacher's the only one under fire. No innocence until proven guilty, no teacher's side of the story, none of that. Just absolute barbecue and destroy the teacher's whole life. Now, what's worse, the promotion of homosexuality in your government school or the teacher claiming it's wrong and maybe a little too passionate in the delivery? But see, my problem with the whole discussion is I don't see any fair-sided discussion here. I see an agenda being pushed. A spokesman for Alpine School District said that appropriate action has been taken. What's appropriate action in this case? Well, that's left up to them, right? Which is, hey, fire the teacher, make sure the teacher never works again, escort the teacher off the property, escorted from the building like a common criminal. I mean, is this acceptable to you folks? All right, there's an article or a talk given by Russell M. Nelson. He's president and prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He gave a talk called Our Spiritual Treasures. No, I guess it's just called Spiritual Treasures. He's talking to the women of the church, one of the largest women's group in the world, I might add. And he says this, my dear sisters, your ability to discern truth from error, to be society's guardians of morality, is crucial in these latter days. And we depend upon you to teach others likewise. Let me be very clear about this. If the world loses the moral, what's the word he uses here? We expect you to teach others to do likewise. Let me be very clear, he says, about this. If the world loses the moral rectitude of its women, the world will never recover. Now, think about that statement in contrast to what's going on here. Okay, now, maybe this teacher, it was a woman, maybe she delivered a little too intensely and a little unkindly. I don't know. And I certainly think we all need to learn when we're passionate about things to be kind to one another and respectful to one another. No doubt about that. No doubt about it. How can we be bold but kind? How can we not cave on the issue and hold the line but yet be respectful? That's something that we all need to learn the art of. No doubt about it. I probably need to learn it more than anybody else. I'm pretty out of control, right? But I'm saying that we need to learn that. It's a good thing to learn. But when do we just absolutely, well, when does our tolerance become so intolerant to the side we disagree with? And I think we've gone way overboard in defense of these two daddies, in defense of these students, in rejection of the teacher. And see, anybody that even stands up for this teacher gets attacked. I'm not standing up for the way the teacher delivered it. I am standing up for the teacher's views. And if the kid says, I'm thankful for my two daddies and that I'm going to be adopted, I might come back and say, you know, we've had a long-held tradition of a one-man, one-woman marriage-based society. That's considered the traditional family. And you know what? That's the family we all strive for, no doubt about it. But you know what? We don't always get those families. We live in a pretty tough world, and I'm grateful that you're going to have a home, young man. I'm grateful for that. Happy Thanksgiving. There's ways to teach the truth and not have a meltdown. Kurt had one more point on this that we didn't get to yesterday because we didn't have time. So we're going to do it in seconds. Kurt Crosby will respond with a little greater tidbit on this topic when we return. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Can you confidently answer the question, was Jesus a socialist? Join us on Saturday morning, December 14th at Liberty Hall to hear the clear and insightful reply from one of today's leading champions for liberty, Lawrence W. Reed, author of Was Jesus a Socialist? Loving Liberty Incorporated is honored to present Dr. Reed for this kickoff event of Liberty Hall Lectures, Saturday, December 14th, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's free and it's timely. No registration is necessary, but seating is limited. Come early. Also, just in time for Christmas, buy 10 or more copies of the 5,000-year Leap for just $250 each. Just in time for holiday giving. Single copy price is normally $10. Can't join us in person? Tune in to the Loving Liberty Radio Network for live talk radio and informative, insightful podcasts at lovingliberty.net or on your mobile phone app. Was Jesus a Socialist? Find out at the Liberty Hall Lectures, December 14th. Go to lovingliberty.net for details. The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, are you there, Kurt?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Sam was mentioning the situation that happened in our neighborhood, I guess you could say. You know, it's a place I try to stay away from is a government school, but there was a lady, you know, that was substituting for a fifth grade class, and she, said some things, I guess, that upset some people. You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting is that after this quote that Sam mentioned by the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where he said that the moral rectitude of the women is so important to our society. And I thought of this lady, one of the leading officials of our church said this, that he said, President Nelson has also reminded us that we don't have to always agree with each other to love each other. And so, you know, it's a difficult thing in these situations where people are diametrically opposed. You know, one person feels so strongly that, I guess, homosexuality is, you know, two men, you know, like Buttigieg and his husband, or the way that things ought to be, and others who feel that the God of heaven and his commandments of a man and a woman being a family are not outdated. They've been that way forever. You know, those are going to be opposing views. And so even though we don't agree, we can still be loving to each other, I guess, right?
Yeah, and the quest is how to learn to do that, right? How do I, in the government schools, if I'm a substitute teacher, how do I learn to be kind, respectful, love those whom I disagree with, but yet at the same time, how do I politely, you know, stand in the public square for my views? How do I defend the traditional family? How do I defend religious beliefs? How do I, and that's where the tough, you know, road to hoe comes. And I think in certain places, it's much harder than other places, right? But there's a way to do it. And that's kind of why I probably would have basically politely said to the child at that point, you know what, I'm so happy you have a home for Thanksgiving. That's a wonderful thing. You know, and I probably would have let it go at that point. And I might have later then tried to build into my curriculum something to do with traditional families and society. And, you know, there's ways to go about educating different points of view without being confrontational and or too aggressive on the topic. The problem that I have is if we're not careful, the only one that doesn't speak up is the one that, well, on the altar of love, they decide not to ever even provide a different thought process or a different focus or provide the historical context or point out a different view. We all sometimes believe that to be loving, we have to just shut up. See, that's where I don't believe it's correct. However, learning how to deliver the differences of views, how to disagree while being agreeable, and how to be respectful while standing for those traditional, I believe to be God-ordained values, you know, that's a tough thing to learn. But I think it's wrong that they just escorted the teacher out. I think it's wrong that... Is there anybody standing up for the teacher's view in this, Kurt, that you see anywhere?
Well, not that I can see.
Or am I the only one, my friend?
The thing that I can see as well is just imagine if the tables were turned. And if some young person was so excited about a mom and a dad being able to adopt them, and we see a lot of stories like that, you know. But if that was going on and the child said that and some, you know, in my opinion, kind of out of control, over the top, homosexual promoting teacher said, hey, man, you know, don't be giving me that man-woman stuff here. I just don't think that in today's world that individual would have been escorted from the premises, Sam.
I think you're right about that. Same. And, you know, let's go to this Virginia couple. Adopts child after convincing mothers not to abort, because I think it directly relates to this discussion, you know, a different view. But you hear all about the teacher that melted down and stood for traditional values and got flat out shut down and escorted out. But do you hear about the Virginia couple that adopts child after convincing mothers not to abort? Go ahead and talk about this one a little bit, Kirk, because I think it directly relates.
Well, I agree, and you know, and yet I'll bet you that there's a whole lot more people that are familiar with the previous story that's, you know, gone from my neighborhood to clear across the world, you know, that kind of thing. And apparently the one of the men, you know, was from Holland, and here he is, you know, in our neighborhood. But anyway, the headline that we're talking about now that to us is a good news story, and the headline reads, Virginia couple adopts child after convincing mothers not to abort. They went viral with a pro-life Facebook post. It was surprising Facebook could let that go on there, but, you know, hats off to them for that. And they were urging women not to abort their babies and put them up for adoption. They wanted them to do that instead. Well, this couple got their wish. Their name, they're the Thomases of Radford, Virginia. They posted a photo on Facebook several months ago urging pregnant mothers planning an abortion not to do so. They said, please don't abort. We will adopt your baby. That was a sign in the photo that said that. The couple posted the image in response to New York's recently passed law that legalizes abortion up to birth in many cases. Now, this post went viral, and their request, well, anyway, they had this one baby lined up, and their request fell through because the mother decided to keep the child. So the baby was not, you know, killed in this case, and that was a good outcome, but they were still waiting for a baby to adopt. Then their wishes of adopting a child, they say, were answered as the couple told Fox News that they are about to adopt an 11-year-old Bulgarian boy. They said this is what the mom said, we recently felt God burdening our hearts for older orphans, specifically boys who statistically are the least likely to be adopted. That's what she told the news outlet. She said, we're so excited to meet him, and we're amazed by how God has already filled our hearts with love for this boy on the other side of the world that we've never met. You know, and they say this is not the first to enter their home through adoption. The family has a three-year-old son named Caden, whom they adopted through the foster care system, in addition to their one-year-old biological son. The Virginia couple says dozens of mothers have reached out to them saying they were inspired to keep their babies after seeing their Facebook post.
Now, I want you to highlight that, because you got Virginia couple adopts child after convincing mothers not to abort, Facebook post goes viral. And then the story ends by saying the Virginia couple says dozens of mothers have reached out to them saying they were inspired to keep their babies after seeing their Facebook post. And see, that's just an example, Kurt, of good news, of what we can do. We can make a difference. We can politely stand up for our beliefs, which is, hey, no to abortion, yes to adoption. Now, I want to make a couple other points about adoption. I know a little bit about it. I come from a family of 7 adopted children. I'm 1 of 7. And so I know a little bit about this topic. I know a little bit about going to find your birth parents and a little bit about all this stuff, right? I should say I know quite a bit about it. I'm joking. But I bring this up because, you know, I appreciate them getting a Bulgarian boy, or somebody getting, you know, black children from Africa or wherever they get children. And I understand those children need rescue as well. There's so much need out there. It is just amazing. But I want to just mention that, you know what? There's plenty of babies that could be adopted right here and not aborted, right here locally. The problem, Kurt, is adoption is incredibly expensive. Let's talk about that when we get back. Just how expensive is the average adoption in America? Does anybody know? How hard is it to get done? Does anybody know? Anyway, let's talk a little bit about that. Then we got to go to Donald Trump, of course. No broadcast is complete without the Donald in it. So there you go. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump is in London today for the NATO summit as impeachment proceedings continue in Washington. The House Intelligence Committee is today to release its report on testimony and evidence it's gathered over the past month. Trump, after meeting with the NATO president hours ago, was asked about the impeachment proceedings by reporters.
Now they want to go to censure because they have no case for impeachment. So they want to go to censure. I don't want them to go to censure. I did nothing wrong. I don't mind being censured if you do something wrong. I did nothing wrong.
Cyber Monday sales reaching $9.2 billion, according to an initial estimate from Adobe Marketing and Consumer Insights, a 17% increase over last year and a new record. A dangerous winter storm, now blamed for at least 8 deaths. It's to keep pounding the Northeast and New England today. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know the average rate on credit cards in the U.S. is over 17%?
And the average credit card debt is over $16,000 per household.
Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian, the Fellowship Home Loans.
Credit cards. It's hard to live without them, but wouldn't it be great if we could?
It is possible. For over 15 years now, we have helped homeowners out of the pit of despair with revolving credit cards with a Fellowship Home Loans debt consolidation refinance.
You could save hundreds, even thousands on your monthly payments, increase your tax deductions, and lower your mortgage rate.
Plus, as a bonus, maybe you'll sleep a little easier after you cut up those cards.
Give us a call at 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-7283 and see how much you could save.
Or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com. fellowshiphomeloans.com.
Fellowship Home Loans. Welcome home.
Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender, MLS number 60134.
After claiming innocence now for a couple of years, a Republican congressman from California is expected to plead guilty to federal charges today. The San Diego lawmaker Duncan Hunter, accused of using around $250,000 in campaign donations for his personal use, including vacations and extramarital affairs. In Chicago, Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson is out as the city's top cop, Mayor Lori Lightfoot firing him after an investigation found he was asleep inside his vehicle.
Eddie Johnson engaged in conduct that is not only unbecoming, but demonstrated a series of ethical lapses and flawed decision-making that is inconsistent with having the privilege of leading the Chicago Police Department.
Johnson admitting to drinking before he was found slumped over the steering wheel in his car. The mayor said there's additional information regarding his conduct, but she says she's not releasing it, in her words, out of deference to his wife and children.
All right, we're talking about the blessings of adoption, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, when girls or women get pregnant, there's better ways than to murder the child, is the point. And adoption is a blessing. And a Virginia couple adopts child after convincing mothers not to abort on Facebook. A Facebook post went viral. Thanks to Facebook for not blocking that. The Virginia couple says dozens of mothers have reached out to them saying they were inspired to keep their babies after seeing their Facebook post. That's phenomenal news, in my opinion. But, Kurt, do you know what the average cost of an adoption is?
I would figure, and this is just a guess, but, maybe you could say it's an educated guess, say $30,000.
Yeah, it's $40,000 to $50,000.
Okay.
Your educated guess is pretty close. It just might be a year or two out of date because costs just go up, and away.
Yeah. There's one other little cool story that I think kind of goes with this about that, you're one of seven that were adopted by some loving people that, they couldn't have children, as we say, biologically, but they chose to basically, open their hearts and home for all seven of you, your brothers and sisters, and you, Sam. And there's one other little story about that I thought was, about a family that adopted seven as well. And this was in a little talk recently where this leader of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints talked about a precious moment that he had. He's 95 years old, and so he's, you know, I mean, he does pretty well to get around the world, and he was talking about one that happened on his birthday. He got a little note and from a girl. He says he's going to call her Mary. She's 14. Mary wrote about things she and I had in common. Said, you have 10 kids. We have 10 kids. You speak Mandarin. 7 of the kids in my family, including me, were adopted from China. So Mandarin is our first language. You are a heart surgeon. My sister has had 2 open heart operations. You like 2-hour church. We like 2-hour church. You have perfect pitch. My brother has perfect pitch too. He is blind like me. He says, Mary's words touched me deeply, revealing not only her great spirit, but also the consecration of her mother and father. Latter-day Saints, he says, as with other followers of Jesus Christ, are always looking for ways to help, to lift, and to love others. They who are willing to be called the Lord's people are willing to bear one another's burdens, to mourn with those that mourn, and to comfort those that stand in need of comfort. So good story and good counsel.
Yes, it is. And the fact that an adoption costs $40,000 to $50,000, Kurt, is insanity. Okay, I was born in 1967, and my adoption cost a few $100. Okay, so I don't know what's going on in the adoption world or industry, but it's gotten to where it's very hard to adopt. I mean, I might even choose to adopt some children, Kurt, but I don't know where I'd get the $40,000 per kid. Because not only do you got to have the $40,000 to adopt, you got to have the money to raise them after that $40,000 to adopt. And when you've got so many children in foster homes, when you've got so many abortions going on, not only around the world, but in the United States, you'd think there'd be a better way, Kurt. You'd think this would be a simpler process. You would think that there'd be ways to vet the family to make sure that it's okay. And then there'd be ways to make this a lot easier to do. And that's what I would advocate for. I mean, think about it. If it was $40,000 for all 7 of us, that'd be 7 times 4, $280,000 just for the adoptions for us 7. I don't think my parents would have been able to do it if it was that expensive then. So, you know, we've got to really change the game. We've got to find ways to make adoption a lot less expensive. And that's just one issue that we face. But there you have it, Kurt. I guess the next headline, sad to say, a teacher got fired for refusing to use, quote, transgender students' preferred pronouns. And I guess the teacher doing a good job now suing the school district over this, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And I mean, if you'd have told my grandpa, you know, years ago, you know, he died in the early 90s. If you'd have told him that, you know, if you're a teacher, you have to figure out what a student wants to be called, you know, he, she, it, him, her, I don't know, it goes on down the list. And then you had to try to remember what to call them if you were at school. If not, you know, you were going to get some kind of a reprimand. He would have looked at me and thought, you're crazy, man.
See, but, I don't know about that. I think he wouldn't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, that's what first, I mean. You know? He would have just thought he was on some other planet. But at least this individual's standing up and saying, hey, this is just wrong. You know, and so we're hoping that cooler heads will prevail. And
yeah, so here's the question: what do you do though, Kurt? If somebody comes to you and says, "I want," you know, they're clearly a male, and they may have been born or biologically they're a male, or whatever you want to say, and you know, birth certificate shows a male, whatever, and they say, "I want you to refer to me as a female." Kurt, what do you do in that situation? Because on one hand, their desire would be that you refer to them as a female, their gender. I don't know what you want to call it, preferred pronouns is the term they're using for this. I'm hesitating to get the terms right here. And you feel like, hey, it's against my beliefs to, you know, ignore gender realities or scientific gendered facts or whatever you want to call it. What do? You call that? What if you're at work? What if you are a teacher, Kurt, or you work somewhere, and your colleague, you know, clearly a male, but wants to be referred to as a female? Do you do it, or do you refuse to?
Well, what if you, what if I told you before the program, Sam, you know, I would like you to, you know, forever in the future, call me King Kurt or something like that. I mean, I think you'd just look at me and say, you know, sure.
You're goofy, you know. Kurt.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
And yet, you know, somehow with the rule of law and these different things and these wicked judges and lawyers, we'll get some, you know, crazy individual that passes some laws that says that you have to do this. I mean, where is the whole pro-choice crowd when, you know, it comes to this, Sam? I don't hear
much
about
point.
That.
And the reason that I bring it up is I actually know people in that very situation that I brought up to you, Kurt. I know people that work for government schools, people that work for big corporations at work or government entities at work, municipalities and such like that. And they're literally told, you know what, you need to refer to this person as a female or this person as a male when you know full well the gender is completely the opposite. And I've asked these people, what do you do? And they're like, I don't know what to do. I just kind of have to, don't I? It's the law, and I don't want to get fired. And I mean, I can't just melt down at work and lose my job, can I? And, you know, the discussions get hard fast. But I personally know people in this situation, Kurt, and they don't know what to do about it. They kind of go along uncomfortably because they don't know what else to do. Now, I'm not suggesting you should go on uncomfortably, and I work for myself, so I don't have this dilemma. But I do believe these dilemmas are coming to a theater near every one of us, especially as more and more and more of us remain silent. Okay? And I, you know, fired and then suing the school district. What's going to happen in that court case? I'm not so sure that I want the rogue judges deciding how this goes down either, Kurt. How about you?
It seems like, though, Sam, if we don't participate in the, you know, whatever it is, like I remember hearing people saying that, hey, they don't want to run for office because there's nothing but a bunch of hogs there. If you don't participate, then, you know, you leave it to the hogs and you leave it to the criminals. And to me, that's what's important is we're, you know, not told to just shrink back, but we're supposed to participate, be salt or light to the world. And you know, Jesus could have just stayed out in the, you know, desert or whatever, and you know, hung out with John the Baptist, but you know, he showed us what to do.
Anyway, I bring that up because there's a lot of people dealing with this, and what's happening, I appreciate this teacher that got fired standing up saying, I'm refusing to use these pronouns. I think they're wrong. And I appreciate that it's going to go to the courts, meaning I think that the teacher's engaged in a valiant stand here. And I pray the courts get it right and stop these shenanigans. But really, why are we letting the judges decide this, Kurt? Don't you think it ought to be decided somewhere rather than the courts? Do we really got to go to the rogue judges to decide everything for us as a society? Does the teacher have the right of self-belief and determination? Is it only respectful to call somebody what they're clearly not? Or is it respectful to let people decide for themselves, huh?
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
you start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
All right, Donald Trump pulls the plug on Bloomberg News. Decredentialing comes after organization publicly announced its pro-Democrat bias. WND.com has the piece, and Rush Limbaugh said he believes that the White House ought to do the same thing. I agree with Rush, but we've been saying this forever. It's kind of interesting. Kurt and I have been talking about this and proposing that Donald decredential people at the White House level and at the campaign level for a long time. If these people are hostile and involved in fake news, why not decredential them ASAP? We've been saying this forever. I appreciate that, but, you know, WND should be quoting us, not Rush, on this, because we've been talking about it for a long time. Even Donald Trump doubles down about this on Twitter. Trump, quote, says, Mini Mike Bloomberg has instructed his third-rate news organization not to investigate him and or any other Democrat, but to go after President Trump only. Wow. The failing New York Times thinks that's okay, because their hatred and bias is so over the top they can't see straight. But it's not okay, says Trump. Now, do you want to respond to this, Kurt? Because I think this is what should have been done a long time ago. Finally, Donald's getting a little bit of chutzpah, but not near enough, though. I mean, decredential the Times, decredential all these thugs that are so hostile. CNN, they're all not reporting the truth. They're all dishonest in their reporting. And you know what? I don't see why Donald doesn't get a lot more aggressive. He talks big, but this is the first time I've ever seen any real action. It proves the most egregious point, though. So Donald might be smarter than me for waiting, because it's really hard to argue against this one. This guy's a, you know, we're going to talk about Donald Trump's, quote, quid pro quo. But yet then, well, isn't this a quid pro quo by Bloomberg saying we're not going to investigate, well, Bloomberg running himself, his news organization has a conflict of interest, but we're not even going to invest in any other Democrats either, only the Donald. I mean, isn't that as partisan and as manipulative in the news as it gets? Donald might have picked the right one to make a stand, but we need to be a lot more bold and aggressive in this for sure. He mocks the New York Times, but he continues to run to them for stories. But this is where I think Donald is finally starting to stand up a little more boldly. I think he should have done it a long time ago, Kurt.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, we want patience and we want it now. You know, and, you know, you look at this kind of thing and we see these stories that have been recently talked about where, you know, President Trump is actually saying stuff like, hey, we're going to quit paying all these tax dollars to pay the subscription for the Washington Post and the New York Times. And I'm thinking, man alive, we should have done that. I don't know. Should have never started them in the first place, because, you know, why does government need to be spending money on those things? But, you know, that's just, you know, kind of the situation normal, all fouled up, you know. But in his defense, I will simply say I've never heard any president say that in my lifetime. you know, and I welcome the move, you know.
Amen. And you got to give Donald Trump credit for it. And maybe he's, you know, been patient enough to pick the right one to just be on the most high moral ground you can get. You know, you got a conflict of interest in Bloomberg because he's running for office. You got a conflict in Bloomberg in that he's so partisan in his news coverage and is willing to investigate only the Republican, only the Donald on the mix. And, you know, but wow, I commend Donald for doing this. Should have been done forever. I pray the White House follows suit as Rush does, Kurt.
Well, and the other thing to, you know, remind folks about is, you know, we've got these so-called rules in these campaigns that are supposed to make it so that, hey, it's fair for everybody, you know. And yet, I mean, we've seen this in the past. They'd say something like, well, Kurt, if you're going to run for office, you can't be on the air, you know. I mean, because that would be some kind of a break in some law or something. And yet, you know, you look here at a guy like, you know, former mayor Bloomberg of New York, who's, you know, basically loaded, Sam. And I mean, he's wanting to buy the presidency. Now, I will simply say this, that President Trump, you know, was loaded, and, you know, and he just felt like, hey, that was something he wanted to do. I just, you know, I'm fine that Mayor Bloomberg wants to spend his money that way. I've already seen a bunch of his ads on YouTube and, you know, and that kind of thing. In fact, they haven't made me feel any, you know, more strongly about voting for him, though. But I think he's just a liberal that, you know, I'm fine with him spending his money, but I'm certainly not going to be supporting him, you know.
Yeah, anyway, I find the conflict of interest quite shocking. I think the president and the White House, or the president and the campaign, is correct on this. I hope the White House follows suit. But let me be very clear from a Liberty News Radio point of view. I'm the owner of Liberty News Radio Network. I believe our partners, LovingLiberty.net, Loving Liberty Radio Network, would agree with me. And this is the stance that I would make for Liberty Roundtable Live, okay? And that is this. You know what? We will investigate any wrongdoing we find and do the best we can to bring it to light, and most importantly, do our very best to push for accountability. When there's wrongdoing, it needs to stop. When there's corruption, it needs to be exposed. When there's violations of the law, there needs to be accountability. And I don't care which side of the aisle. I don't care who it is. That goes for everyone, Kurt. What do you think of that for a news organization?
I mean, imagine wanting the truth about everything, and no matter who, you know, it might upset, you report it, Sam.
Yes, and I agree with being polite and giving people the benefit of the doubt, right? And we do that here on this program, too. We tried to give Chick-fil-A the benefit of the doubt, Kurt, and I was very hesitant, but I'm starting to lose the battle because there's becoming too much evidence against Chick-fil-A now, Kurt. I tried to really give Chick-fil-A a chance and say, wait a minute, not so fast. Let's see where this goes. Maybe they're just trying to be kind. But the problem is the evidence continues every day to pile up. Now, some would say, see, Sam, I told you. And my response would be, I know you told me. But I still maintain it's a virtue to be a little patient and to see how this shakes out before you condemn or before you pick sides. Well, I've done that. I've been patient. But here's the latest news. Chick-fil-A Foundation donated to the far-left Southern Poverty Law Center in 2017. Now tax records show, Kurt, I cannot defend Chick-fil-A anymore. Okay,
well,
of all the people that
remember,
are wicked and evil, in my opinion, of the Southern Poverty Law Center, they've been exposed as they've lost their credibility big time. Now, if you know Chick-fil-A doesn't know that, shame on them. If they want to make a stand saying, we, you know what, we made this mistake, we didn't realize, we apologize, we'll never do it again, or we won't do this, you know, okay, I get it. But at some point, Chick-fil-A has gone too far now, Kurt, because the Southern Poverty Law Center has taken that money and literally attacked us relentlessly with it, including lying about us. They had to write an apology letter to Richard Mack at an event we were at for lying, literally intentionally framing the truth in a very horrible light, suggesting that we are promoting violence. The Southern Poverty Law Center has attacked me and promoted me individually as one of the largest hate groups in the state of Utah. Okay, and this is being funded by Chick-fil-A now, Kurt. So I'm telling you right now, I'm doubling down and saying there's just no excuse for it. Now, if Chick-fil-A wants to apologize and repent, and they want to go ahead and put a couple of dollars into our cause to help us recover from the abuse we've taken at the hands of the Southern Poverty Law Center funded by Chick-fil-A, by all means, Dan, Kathy, and others, you're certainly welcome to do so. Now, I'm not trying to attack Chick-fil-A, but I am trying to set the record straight that I gave everybody the benefit of the doubt here. And I still commend my patience on this was a good thing. Nevertheless, I just cannot defend that anymore, Kurt.
Well, and the one thing that I wanted to bring out about this, besides the fact that somebody, Samuel Smith, writing for what's called the Catholic Press, I think is what it is, CP stands for that, a reporter there, or Christian Press, maybe it was. Their headline says, Chick-fil-A Foundation donated to far-left SPLC in 2017. Most of the headlines I saw about this just didn't put the 2017 part.
Yeah, the headline I have does, did.
Yeah, I know. I just mean most of the ones I've seen, you know, if it was Huffington Post or anybody else, to make, the thing look worse.
Yeah, they want you to believe it's even more widespread and a continual reality.
Yeah, and then the subheadline that I think is pretty important, it says, fast food chain says SPLC donation was recommended by volunteer advisory board member. And I wouldn't be surprised if you went back and you studied up, in 2017, whatever it was, that this individual probably just looked online and said, hey, there's the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they are the guys that are supposedly saving us from these hate groups, these neo-Nazis and all these evil guys out there. And so we need to support that kind of thing. And at least I would bet that, there have been good people like Chick-fil-A that have been tricked simply because, hey, they didn't really know the truth. It could have happened even to us, Sam, if we hadn't had personal experience and had people digging in and giving us the facts about these guys.
I'm convinced you're right about everything you say, Kurt. Nevertheless, I just can't defend it. And when you couple this with the caving on the other issues, then you have Matt Staver digging into it and saying, hey, those that are defending Chick-fil-A haven't researched enough. There's multiple things where this, stopping the funding of the Christian organizations and promoting the funding of these wrong organizations, and it's a lot more widespread than we thought it was. This is Matt Staver, remember. This isn't just the average Joe. I have a lot of respect for Matt and his research. Now, I'm not here to attack Chick-fil-A, but I am here to condemn that action and say this is wrong. And I think at some point Chick-fil-A needs to make a stand where they really stand, Kurt, and they need to do their best to double down in defense of what they really believe. If they are jettisoning the Christians, make it clear. Okay, this lukewarm where I don't know where Chick-fil-A stands has got to stop. And I gave them the benefit of the doubt at first, but then when I hear, oh, they say they're not caving, then I hear Matt Staver saying, oh, yes, they are. Look at all they've done. And then I hear others go and research it more. And then I see more and more and more evidence coming out that they're, backing away from all the things that we hold dear. They're calling it the Great Chick-fil-A Betrayal now, Kurt. So that's kind of the problem, is that I just can't defend it anymore. Now, I still think they do a lot more good than others.
It's sad to see, but we've seen it so many times. Great things get started, and they stand up, and people support them, and then somebody else takes over, and, a la Walmart, etc.
I would agree, and I would say the great quintessential example of that is Disney, wouldn't you say, Kurt?
Great point, Sam.
And our prayers are with them that they don't cave, and I hope that there's petitions out there, people trying to bring Chick-fil-A back on track, and I pray they're successful as well. I don't mean just to condemn, but I can't defend Chick-fil-A anymore, especially when they put money into the Southern Poverty Law Center, who's personally, relentlessly, dishonestly, and immorally attacked us. At some point, I got to say enough is enough. All right, hour one of the can, hour two coming up. I'm Sam, he's Kurt, you're you. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.